09-2950. I could not be more proud than to be part of this tradition and to be followed by the master of speculative fiction, Jim Freund, sci-fi guy, with Hour of the Wolf, which is coming up in 3 minutes and 6 seconds from now. And I don't know what he's going to do, but it's always good. And I hope those of you who have been calling will inspire your peer listeners to call 212-209-2950. This is one of the best parts of the interview, and I'm hoping you will call. And for a pledge of $35, be there for the multimedia exegesis of the future presented by Michio Kaku this 7th of May, 2012 at the Ethical Culture Society, 64th and Broadway. Go to the BAI website if you're non-telephonic at the moment. But please, just a few more. Call 212-209-2950 and continue to support Hour of the Wolf. This is one of the smart blocks on WBAI. And I really appreciate each and every one of you who have called before. And we're going to have a good time. I want those of you who pledged during Earth Watch to come up and say hello during this event. But to get there, get the tickets. Thank you. Wow. Thank you, somebody. Ah, it warms my heart. 212-209-2950. You know, I am such an unfaithful lover because I am tempted occasionally by doubt. And yet you always come through. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for everyone who's called. I want Earthwatch to be in the house this coming Monday. And thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. There's yet another pledge. Thank you. You know, y'all do it slow, but you do it good. 212-209-2950. Well, hell, I guess I'm going to go to sleep happy tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Wow. You see, revolution also requires intellect. And you are part of building a new neural net in this society at this time. And, you know, I came unannounced. And you fulfilled an important part of our dreams. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My name is Robert Knight, and we do stuff here. This program is called Earthwatch, and it is part of an intellectual and mental and foolish synchrony between foolish. Speaking of foolish synchronies, here comes Jim Freund, singularity. All of his own.
Well, certainly not, I'm not a singularity. I've been living with Barbara for years.
Well, I've always thought that you had some quirks.
Yeah, but since the Ferengi left town, the quirks just haven't been as available.
No, I'm not going to bargain with you.
Okay, but I'm
Jim Freund is also one of the most brilliant people on this planet. Okay. Part of the inspiration of my doomed presence here. And you brought me in.
I listened to you and Hour of the Wolf. And Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Well, not exactly Marvel. A person who worked for Marvel.
Yeah, yeah.
And the moment I said that, his name just... Neil Adams.
Neil Adams, yes. Oh, but also DC. He did some beautiful Batman.
Oh, yes, he did. But it was his Broadway show.
Yes, Warp. Exactly. That poster.
That poster. Warp. Yeah. The best darned premium I ever had to offer was that poster. And God knows what those are worth today.
God, yes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, of a certain conscious bent... Or of a bent consciousness.
Or bent consciousness, more like, yes.
What more perfect moment could there be between the science of Earthwatch and Michio Kaku and the science fiction or speculative fiction?
Thank you.
Of our great, brilliant friend, Jim Freund.
And to tie it together, there was a time, and this is like, I have to find this air check because it's like blackmail material.
I got a magnet.
But not too long after Michio's show began on this station, he came on Hour of the Wolf. I invited him on. And he talked about, well, how science fiction was really doing science a bit of a disservice.
Whoa.
Whoa? Yeah, I think that at some point...
Oh, that should have been one hell of a conversation.
He changed his mind. Oh, yeah, we were, like, not agreeing. So either my leg was totally being pulled, which I don't think was the case, or he finally started reading the stuff and he saw the light, which is what I think the case was.
I think that time reveals all. And as you probably know, Michio became a great lover and exponent of Star Trek and other forms of the form. And perhaps we have you to thank for that.
I don't know. He's certainly never credited me, but I... and in fact, he and I were on stage together at a science fiction convention about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
On the science track at Lunacon, which is the new, it's held in Rye, New York.
You also introduced me to my first science fiction convention.
Oh, which one did you?
It was at 8th Avenue and about 43rd Street.
Well, that was Lunacon when it was still in New York. Yeah, at the Commodore Hotel. Oh, God, was that place a sty.
The commode door?
The commode door. And then it moved after that to the Statler Hilton, so it was always near BAI, in a way, because Statler Hilton was 34th and 7th,
yeah,
between 33rd and 34th and 7th.
That's so, right, on the east side
correct,
of the avenue.
Yes. Correct. So it was always relatively near BAI. Now it's held in Rye, New York.
But, you know... BAI was at that time located to one of the most fictional sciences, the New Yorker Hotel of the Moonies.
Oh, my God. We used to look across the street. The Moonies, you remember that they had their mass wedding at Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Max and Paul Wonder and I and Sydney and maybe you, a whole bunch of people. We came in that night with binoculars because we could look into any room in the New Yorker Hotel.
Now, I wasn't going to tell that
it
story.
It was so, well, it's my 45th anniversary.
Wow.
It is. I started working at WBAI May 1st, 1967, God help me.
You're semi-novennial.
That's right. So
non-novennial.
Quattro. Well, so that's the thing is reminiscing this morning.
That's the novennial.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You know what the dumbest thing there is in all of media today?
Well, the Occupy Wall Street today celebrated its 6-month anniversary.
What? Am I wrong to be really perturbed about how even... AP and the New York Times and people like that are using this
bogus
linguistic oxymoron.
Well, somebody put out a press release and other people bought it. Happens all the time. The world out there, outside of WBAI, runs on press releases. And this is especially true in the world that Michio and you were talking about, because I've been a journalist in the computer world, and somebody puts out a story that is months and months, years and years old.
But it's relevant because the press release came out that day.
Exactly.
But you know what, Jim? I'm not P-H-A-S-E-D by that.
Yeah, exactly.
Folks, the correct spelling is F-A-Z-E-D.
There you go.
Come on, take the card, man. You got it.
But I have to talk to you about something.
Oh, yeah, okay, let's talk.
And, you know, we might as well do it on the air.
Improv, free form.
Last time, I had a premium.
That's right.
Called Beyond the Moons of Mars. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Well, let me do that again.
Very well. Mr. President. But
thank you, Mr. President. Poor Peter Bergman. But and that was, of course, news stories from Barsoom.
Yeah.
And by the way, we still have over 20 of those books left.
Well, let's get rid of them. Let's do some.
Next week.
Okay.
Now, here's the deal. So I asked Robert. This was, the movie was opening March 9th, mm-hmm. because that was the 100th anniversary of the publication of Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice mm-hmm. Burroughs. And I said, now, mind you, Robert, I mm-hmm. have to give full disclosure that this book, not the book we were selling, not yeah. the, excuse me,
no,
giving
which is very
away
creative
for
book.
Free.
Yes, yes.
But because this is all new stories mm-hmm. based on the creation mm-hmm. of Edgar Rice Burroughs. It was not Edgar Rice Burroughs itself. And Robert on the phone
like
said,
people from this century and all, yeah.
Exactly. And Robert said to me, I need to know a little bit more, because we're talking about a person who in some of his fiction, such as his Tarzan books, you know, blood will out. Tarzan is superior because Tarzan was born a lord, a white lord, as opposed to the dumb Africans mm-hmm. around him. And there is a certain amount, not in the Princess of Mars, not in the first princess, not in the first Barsoom book,
Athenes, yeah.
but in some of the later Barsoom books, there is not overt racism is really in Tarzan. There was just the racism of 1912, just built
sure.
into the thing. And Robert had not seen the movie. I had not seen the movie. We did not know. I mean, I knew it was written by Michael Chabon. I knew it was a Disney film. I knew it itself mm-hmm. would not be a racist thing. But nevertheless, here we were going to be talking on the air, promoting
right.
something. And I was just arguing.
And I was all like, no song well before singing, and I really didn't mean to mislead
but there was
or
one,
disappoint.
But there was one thing that you said that was so cogent, a point, and I'm trying to remember exactly which argument it was, it was basically, would you let a 12-year-old black kid today see this without disclaimer, mm-hmm. know about this without, and that was like, you know, I don't know. It's a really good question. Right. So, but what I was coming up with is, yes, there's racism in it. Mark Twain used the word in Huckleberry Finn and all that. But take, well, Mark Twain was trying to make a point.
Yeah, I would have cavilled that.
Right. Edgar Rice Burroughs was not. Edgar mm-hmm. Rice Burroughs was just writing pop fiction,
mm-hmm.
and he was using the tropes of his era.
There's nothing wrong with a man or a woman being brave, bold, and bodacious, as long as that does not deny others the same.
Right. But at that, well, you see, at that time, and here's, you know, the one argument is, oh, but I'm treating black people, or he would not have used the word black people, Negro people, with respect. Well, in comparison to the way other people were treating people in 1912, that may, to a very limited extent, in the lights of 1912, be true. So the question came up in our argument. When is it okay to explore the futuristic vision of 100 years earlier? So we have a washout. Mm-hmm. The book takes,
which is an interesting proposition, because if it is possible to project an unpolluted, unbiased world, unburdened by the baggage of cultural invidiousness of the past, then the problem collapses and reduces by a dimension into one of group interactions that may be more amenable to analysis.
Well put. Science fiction is about the present. 1984 is about 1948.
Mm-hmm.
The science fiction books that are coming out today, with very few exceptions, in 100 years, people are going to say, how could they have thought that? Mm-hmm. How could, you know, and they have onuses. And I thought this was just such a wonderful argument. And I proposed at that time to you, because I did say this was a conversation, that we do a show together.
Mm-hmm.
On this topic. Now,
this could be an important thing.
You have been burdened this week with 5 o'clock shadow, with working with Michio on this wonderful, wonderful event.
Mm.
And oh, yes, I've got a premium.
Yeah.
To tie in. Well, cool. Kathy and I only remembered it an hour ago.
Cool. This is, you know, improv. This is freeform.
It really is. It really is. But I'll say to you for a second what the premium is, and you'll remember it. It's perfect. Wormholes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this must be the last thing I say, because it ties together the beginning of our conversation and the end of it. Because what is a wormhole but that which unites black and white?
Ooh!
My man.
Come out of here. And all the other hues. And all the other hues.
Come on in.
Okay, yeah. I'll switch microphones.
Because, it is done.
Because I also need to do a whole thing on the air about the lack of Asian science fiction. There is not a great deal that we promote. There's Ted Chiang is a great, great Asian-American writer. There's William Wu, W-U. I can't name five. And what does that say right there? I don't say I have a complete encyclopedic knowledge, but I know my skiffy writers, and I cannot name five. Now, there's probably a lot. Oh, damn it. What's his name? Japanese writer. Kobe Abu, is that it? Abe. Brilliant, brilliant writer. Woman in the Dunes. Great writer. So maybe I can name five, but I'd have to work at it. But is there a culture richer in fantastic literature than Asian and Indian culture and Indo-Chinese culture? We are not seeing that yet in American science fiction. If it exists, it's not being translated.
Huh.
There's an amazing...
Does S.I. Hayakawa count?
Yes. He does.
But he's more of...
I'm all-encompassing. I do not like to draw limits upon these people. But all that aside... The issue of racism in science fiction, much of it social, not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it simply, that's the way of the world today. Mm-hmm. Since science fiction is not about the future, but projections from the present.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great way to look at the problem.
Deus ex futuris, or as it were.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. A lot of writers... A writer whom you respect, who I saw yesterday and will be seeing on Friday, John Shirley.
Oh, I love him, man!
You missed my event with him yesterday, man!
Well, I was...
You were busy.
I was recovering from Mayday.
Yeah, I know. That was Margot's complaint as well.
Yeah,
it was during Mayday.
Yeah.
It was our Beltane Valpurgis knock.
John Shirley! You know, I remember a tiny little item. I did a shadow on this about... The spy drones, I spoke with Electronic Frontier Foundation's staff attorney about the FAA documents about drones across America. And, my God,
well,
way
I'm
back then, John
with...
Shirley was talking about a little buzzy chopper that was spying on people.
If we can, I'm going to see John on Friday, and we're going to record a show.
Yeah.
Is there a time when you could join us?
Let's talk.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So that would,
We've spoken on the phone. It would be an honor to meet him in person.
I thought you had.
Well, maybe he was in the studio.
I think he was on your show.
Yeah, it was on my show.
I've never had him live on my show. I've only had him recorded. You had him live.
I'll teach
on Earthwatch.
I'll teach you this biz. It was science fiction.
Yeah, right.
Biz,
was it a midnight? It was a Midnight to Five.
We'll get less back then. I think Midnight to Three.
Midnight to Three. Okay. Yeah. But you certainly had him on.
Yeah.
And he certainly remembers it. And gee, is he just a neat, cool, lovely guy. Mm-hmm. And his fiction is as relevant today as ever it was.
Great reading. I must, so I only have a few days to read up on his latest.
Yeah, go to his website.
Okay.
Well, darkecho.net. Darkecho.net is his website. But if you just search for John Shirley, seek and you shall find. Mm-hmm. But so the question is, shall we do a show next week starting at midnight on the topic of racism, science fiction, speculative literature,
I can answer you in three words. Already in progress.
Very good. So I have the premiums for it. Kathy is all...
Good.
Is all...
So I can be talent. You've done the admin.
We shall do this together.
Okay.
And it's all based on this really just wonderful argument. And when I use the word argument...
I'm going to kick your ass, you know.
Yeah. No. You see, I use the word argument in the very...
Jewish.
If Socrates was a Jew, well, it depends on the cat. But, you know, two Jews, three opinions. Anyway, you're not having an argument. You're having an argument. No,
I came here for abuse.
Yes. an argument as in a positive. I mean, I just had so much fun. It was not a fight.
An exegesis, a search for knowledge.
Absolutely. And the fact of the matter is that in a proper argument, you learn.
Duh.
And you learn, you listen to the other person and you take from it.
That's why I love Stevie Wonder's song called Ordinary Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time that was released, romance was a very painful thing. And my spiritual teachings at the time led me to the conclusion that were harmonious with ordinary pain. It's just an ordinary pain. You'll get over it. You'll live, you know.
Mm.
And I kind of started to realize that we all come from one center. We're all at a point directly above the center of the earth. And something that I perceive as being pain is somebody I think is somebody else, but really just another tentacle of our collective being, informing me of something that I'm insufficiently aware of. That's what pain is.
That's interesting. I have found that the greatest pains in my life have all been learning experiences.
Yeah. Well, what better?
Jim. So let's switch seats.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go into the theme or anything. My premise for getting y'all to call up and pledge is simple.
Support my brother.
Yo, I started at WBAI. I was a phone volunteer. I started May 1st, 1967. I am not sure if that was the first thon or the second. I thought it was the first. I was pretty sure of it. But I think it was Robert J. Barish, Robbie Barish, who told me at the 10th anniversary, is that 10th? Jesus. The 50th anniversary celebrations that we were having of WBAI joining the Pacifica Foundation, that he said, no, that was the second thon. One way or the other, I do know that it was 1967 that I began. I was 13 years old. I came in to answer phones. And I have never, ever, not for a second of my life, have I ever regretted it. There are issues. One does not earn a living. I am unpaid staff here. I was a volunteer, and eventually I became what is clearly called unpaid staff. But I'm not an important part of the station. I never have been. But what I am to the station, one very, very important thing to the station, is a witness. I am somebody who has watched since 1967, not just listened, because I know there are people who've been listening and listening longer. And there are people, by the way, who've been working for or with WBAI longer than I. But, well, I claim utter devotion. There was a 5 or 6 year period in which, you know, the hippie era, I lived in the station. We owned a church on 62nd Street, and I went home occasionally, but for the most part, I slept on the balcony of the church. I was always there to grab airtime. Things were looser in those days. Certain people would not show up for their shifts or their shows occasionally, and I would find myself on the air at all hours. I grabbed every announcing shift, probably the greatest job in the world. The job that today Michael G. Haskins does so well is, I don't know how much Michael will agree with me. He's been doing it so well and so long for so many years now, but for me, especially at the age I was at when I was doing it, one of the most exciting jobs in the world was simply being the engineer and meeting all these amazing, astonishing people who came through the studios that I was able to engineer. And I met bleeping everybody, because I was in the studio at one point when Abby Hoffman called our beloved program director, John Scagliotti, to do some kind of stuff. Scagliotti.
City Sounds!
You know.
Which wasn't a bad idea.
Thank you! Thank you. It wasn't a bad idea. And in a way, it was sort of a precursor of Wake Up Call, except that he wanted to do it all the time. But anyway, Scagliotti sent me out to meet with Abby, and Abby and I became business partners for the better part of a year. And my God, was that an experience. I have a life list of science fiction writers that I've been able to have on this program, one that I'm pretty darned proud of. And if you go to ourwolf.com, you can see it. But the people, and this is another list I should try to recall to make, that I've either interviewed or engineered or had on the air, is staggering. Watching the people who have worked here, the fact that I was intern to a person in the arts department by the name of John Lithgow, Paul Fisher, our news director, who was what was his title? Was he chief writer for Dan Rather? What was
yes.
it?
Yes, indeed.
He was head writer or chief writer or something mm-hmm. along those lines. By the way, Robert, have you seen the trailers for the TV series Newsroom?
Oh, I fear to look.
Oh, do so. It's written by Aaron Sorkin.
Isn't he one of the names from here?
No. Sorkin was never here. Uh-huh. But I mean, it sounds like something that you will either love or skewer. You're not going to.
If it's any good, I'll deny everything about it.
Yeah, well, go to your favorite streaming video service,
Newsroom.
Newsroom. Trailer number one, not trailer number two. Trailer number two is Wussy. This is an HBO series. Jane Fonda is director of a network which Jeff Daniels has been the number one news guy on. But it's losing in ratings. So at some point, he just, you know, and he's talking to students and he's saying, and the students are asking him, why is this the greatest country in the world? And he starts spewing out facts and statistics and saying, who thinks this is the greatest country? This is far from the greatest country in the world. We have this level of poverty. We have this going on. We have that going on. And on and on and on. And he refuses to be left or right. He's sort of CNN mushy.
I like it.
And all the political sides are trying to force him, and he's sort of turning into this Keith Olbermann kind of a character.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have Sam Waterston, Jane Fonda, Jeff Daniels, every episode written by Aaron Sorkin.
All right.
Okay, this, Robert, you need to...
I'll check that out after I listen to you tonight.
Oh,
everybody support him.
Yeah, well, support the radio station. Because that's what I'm talking about. It's just how freaking cool this place has been. Can I say freaking during Safe Harbor? Okay. The place is amazing. It was amazing. It is amazing. 45 years and 2 days, and I probably regret a day from it, but that was, you know, 30 years ago, and I forget which day that was. And I probably ingested something really bad that day. Oh, actually, I know what story that is. Yeah, that was regretful. That was really regretful. I actually told that story on the air. Tony Bates made me tell that story on the air. And I don't think I should do it again, because I think if I tell that story truthfully, which I did, it's probably actionable. I think I could probably be arrested. There's no statute of limitations on how many mushrooms a person has had while they're on the air, okay? But actually, it's all right. I was taken off the air. That made it okay. Max Schmid made sure that I was not on the air under the... So that's the day that I regret. Outside of that, 45 years and 2 days. So now it's 45 years and 1 day. I don't regret at all. The premise of this radio station, the concept behind listener sponsorship, it's not just that I can come here and do a science fiction show. And Margot Adler created Hour of the Wolf on a 5-day-a-week basis. It was just freeform radio. This is what Robert has been doing this morning. It is this amazing, magical, unique thing that sometimes, more than once, has put us into odds with the rest of Pacifica Radio. I think it's something that when Tony first came to WBAI as a fundraiser and then program director, that he did not appreciate, because it is so unique. Not even in the rest of Pacifica Radio are people doing this freeform concept, which is really, you know, sort of pioneered by Gene Shepard, but brought to an art form, brought into the modern era by Bob Fass and perfected by Fass and then his people that he influenced, who learned from him and his method. And that would include what Margot was doing, certainly includes what Robert Knight does, what I hope to be accomplishing on this program every so often here in WBAI New York. Station break. And like that, the freedom to come on the air and talk like Sidney Smith does on Carrier Wave, and all this, the freeform radio. But forget that. No, don't forget that. But add, if you call right now, add into that the radio drama. Add into that the, you know, before there was Earth Day, the ecological programming. Before there was Occupy Wall Street, the discussion of the disparity of financial ownership. The 99% versus the 1% was not a slogan. here at WBAI, but it was something that was constantly in our thinking. The fact that once upon a time, we were not all one kind of radio. There was a time when the premise of Pacifica Radio demanded simply, it was actually a very simple concept and a wonderful concept. It wasn't, oh, we need progressive voices on the air. It was actually simpler than that and even more freeing than that. It was the idea that the person on the air, the person behind the microphone, may be the person who writes the script, if indeed a script there be, of what they are saying. It wasn't necessarily unscripted, but it was that the person who you heard talking, it was their ideas, their thoughts, their voice, not just their voice, reading somebody else's work. That was the original idea behind the pilot of the theory of listener-sponsored radio, a copy of which, by the way, is on my website at ourwolf.com. That's H-O-U-R-W-O-L-F. It's a very 90s-looking website, because, well, that's when I created it, and I haven't updated it yet, but I will. The concept behind this animal that is listener-sponsored radio, you know, it then developed into, okay, if this is a place where different people have their own voices, then we started playing host to all kinds of voices. William F. Buckley did a regular show on WBAI, as did the Black Panthers, as did some Ku Klux Klan organization and some right-wing group called Let Freedom Ring, as did the Young Lords, had a show called Palente. I hope I'm not mangling it too much. Where Baird Searles, our arts director, well, we say arts now, he was our drama and literature director, did a show in science fiction called Of Unicorns and Universes. Before him, Anthony Boucher, those who read science fiction and mysteries know this name all that, you know, incredibly well, know the show that he did of Boucher. Was the music director who did a program on opera, the Golden Voices of Opera. It was heady. It was amazing. It still is. As times progressed, obviously things took on more and more of a particular political voice. There was a time when it was very, very difficult to get arts programming on the station because politics took over the station so heavily that political people would say, well, when you're doing arts, you're not putting bread into people's mouths, the response to which is, you know, a variant on what Che Guevara said, at the risk of seeming ridiculous, a revolutionary is guided by a sense of humor. Well, add to that, you know, that arts and all that, it all comes together. The arts programming of WBAI has been wonderful, and the idea that one can take a look, like if you heard Robert and I talking about science fiction, fantasy, et cetera, and the way that this represents society, aside from the fact that I hope you have a rollicking good time when you hear this stuff, I hope the example of the program last week where we listened to a Philip K. Dick story called The Exit Door Leads In, or 2 weeks ago when Brian Aldiss on tape read his great short story, Who Can Replace a Man? These are, you know, fun, interesting, provocative examples of fiction, but they are also modern social statements. I thought that the Philip K. Dick story did that particularly well. 45 years at WBAI have given me the insight into some of the most amazing eras of society. We're very much a microcosm of the left and some other strata of life. But we are also this amazing creative outlet that can have anything from, let's call it a Jackson Pollock mishmash of sound. Yes, John Cage used to broadcast here. I engineered John Cage. As I said, engineering people is one of the most fascinating things in the world. And it was thanks to some of the programs John Cage did here that at one time there was a fellow getting his doctorate in John Cage, who was an avant-garde musician of the day. He was at Brown University. He was able to get the recordings that we had, and no, they weren't MP3s. He was able to get the recordings, and do his doctoral thesis based on the archives that we had in the music department at WBAI. The wealth, the treasure, the stuff that makes this station up should make it unnecessary for me to pitch a premium to say, oh, you want to come to this Michio Kaku event or whatever. But premiums are nice. And we've got some. But first and foremost, let's get down to the bare essential. When I go on the air now, I receive an email from somebody who's trying to keep this darned radio station afloat, saying, okay, by the way, you're on the air tonight and you haven't registered a premium. What are you registering? The idea that it all has to be done on the basis of a premium is, well, perhaps on the one hand, understandable. It does get things going. On the other hand, it's sort of like a little, oh, isn't having the best darned attempt at radio in the universe good enough for you? Well, maybe I'm overstating it, but maybe not. The idea of listener-sponsored radio, not a place where we get part government money and part grants and part of this and part of that, which public broadcasting needs to do, which, by the way, I'm totally against. I am totally in favor of public broadcasting having their budgets quintupled and then being totally paid for by tax dollars. I don't think that they should be coming to us for their money. I think that they should be given their money, similar to the way the BBC operates, you know, and then go ahead and do what it is that they need to do so that they don't pander, which is what I think a lot of public television and occasionally public radio needs to do in order to survive. Well, I don't think people can accuse WBAI of pandering. But this also means that our budget is very, 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 our percent of listener-sponsored dollars. I haven't asked in a little while, but I am pretty sure that we are very close to 90% listener-sponsored in our annual budget. I really need to get to know what our budget, our annual budget is and what those numbers are. And that 10% is made up of more like capital grants and things like that, CPB paying for our ability to play music on the air. You know, somebody actually has to pay for those music rights. CPB negotiates money for all the radio stations together, gets great, great volume discount, and we are included in that. So that's not us taking money, but that is part of our budget being covered. So we are over, we're close to, I know we're over 85% listener sponsored, okay? And yeah, you know, if we could be even 100% listener sponsored, we would be. That's enough. That's enough reason for you to become a listener sponsor. And what kind of money are we asking for? How much money do we ask from you? $25. You know, movies almost cost that much. One visit to a decent museum asks that for the donation on the way in. Per person. If you're four people, that's closer to $100. Ever go to your local science museum and not only get admission, but, you know, ask for something in the IMAX in addition or something like that? I know whereof I speak. I worked at a science museum for 3 years. Not in New York City, but right outside New York. It's expensive. It needs to be expensive. I'm not putting these places down. I'm trying to let you know how small $25 is. Give us $35. We have these really weird and wonderful bandanas that were designed for us. It has listed on it every radio program currently on WBAI, mine included. Very pleased by that. $35 donation to WBAI will get you a bandana. A $60 donation will get you one of our spiffy new T-shirts. I hear people saying, well, that's such a corporate design. It uses Helvetica. Actually, I sort of like it. What can I say? I think it looks good on stationery and stuff like that. And it'll look good on you. $60 for a WBAI T-shirt. You can get it any number. There's women's sizes and stuff like that. All that information can be yours when you call to pledge. Now, as Robert was promoting, there is Michio Kaku's new book, Physics of the Future, which is very skiffy oriented. It's the science of science fiction, or it's turning, practically is science fiction what Michio is doing there. Because but it's plotless. What he's doing, not pointless, but plotless. What he is doing is he's taking science today and extrapolating it with culture. He's very big on culture. Into the future. That is available for $75. But ha-ha! The Return of the Wormhole. $25? $25. Which, in essence, if you're going to donate to WBAI, means for free. For free, in essence. After a $25 donation, we will send you, we haven't offered this in about 2 years, a certificate for your very own wormhole. There are an unlimited number of wormholes out there, and one of them should have your name on it, and WBAI's name on it, for that matter. So we have come up. These were devised largely by Janet Coleman, David Dozer, and myself. I'm the printer. The certificate is seen to by David Dozer, and then they are signed by Dr. Michio Kaku to assert that, yeah, that's a wormhole, all right. $25 will get you a certificate entitling you to a wormhole. Now, you're getting to that wormhole and back. That's not our responsibility. It's like, yes, you just won a trip in Greece, but it's a trip in Greece. You have to pay your way to Greece and back, okay? You will get a certificate to a wormhole. Now, what you can do with it and all that, well, that's up to you. You're going to have to get there. You're going to have to figure out how to harness it. You're going to have to figure out what to do with it. But we will certify that that wormhole is yours. And to prove it, we have one of the world's niftiest nuclear physicist, Dr. Michio Kaku, to certify it. $25. Oh, did I mention how you do this? You give us a phone call. 212-209-2950. 45 minutes into the show, and that's the first time I'm giving you the phone number. But you know what? You ought to know that phone number by heart. It ought to be in your DNA. It ought to be a part of what you live with and what you know. Because as a listener to WBAI, and if you're listening at 2:15 in the morning, you probably are, well, a true listener. Then you know all about this. Then you know how important WBAI is. Then you know that you should be making that call now, that you should be making that pledge now. And you know that phone number, don't you? You have heard it hundreds of times before. Well, hear it again. 212-209-2950. Again, 212-209-2950. We can arrange that number in a couple of ways. And we're going to keep doing that until we start getting some calls in. Now, if we get calls in there, I would be willing to take phone calls on our on-the-air line and speak with you about, 45 years of WBAI. Or, I mean, we're older than that, but I've been here for 45. Or about things, science fiction and fantasy. Oh, yes. I have announcements to make. I forgot. Should have done that at the top, but I got involved in talking with Robert. But announcements about the world of science fiction and fantasy and related fields of endeavor. A phrase that Peter Zanger came up with for me many, many moons ago that I continue to use. By the way, one phone call is coming in. Thank you. Let's please get a second. 212-209-2950. Announcements. Yes, on the aforementioned PBS. I was sort of putting it down, but hey, they have good stuff, except that most of it is English. And one of those is the TV series Sherlock, Season 2. Starts with their take on, whatever the name of the episode is with Irene Adler, the woman. Second episode is Hound of the Baskerville, starring Russell Tovey, one of my favorite actors. And then the third episode, Reichenbach Falls, in which, if you know you're Arthur Conan Doyle, you know Sherlock dies. As does Moriarty. Well, worth seeing. That's all I'll say about that. Oh, yeah, also worth seeing in theaters now. You thought I was going to say The Avengers. Fine, I'll be looking forward to that. But that's not what I'm talking about. The Pirates, Band of Misfits. Are you an Aardman animation fan? I am. Wallace and Gromit. That kind of stuff. Just, you know, you need a smile. You need a good time. Go see that movie. Don't bother with the 3D. It's done okay, but you don't need it. It's not a part of what you need. Just, you'll smile a lot. Okay. And then third thing, at Word Books in Brooklyn this Sunday at 7 p.m., three people who, if you're a regular listener to Hour of the Wolf, you should be familiar with their names, if not their voices. K. Tempest Bradford will be speaking with N.K. Jemison, Nora Jemison, and Paolo Bacigalupi, two of the most luminous writers in the world of science fiction today. And Tempest is a technology geek and writer. She was an editor at Laptop Magazine, and she's still doing reviews and various things today. And Nora Jemison, just one of the great new voices in science fiction. She can't seem to write a damn thing that doesn't get nominated for the best. And so that's this Sunday at Word Bookstore in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, at 7 p.m. Okay, so those are the announcements. We seem to be still getting one phone call. So it hasn't reflected on the tally yet, but we need more. 212-209-2950. Right. 212-209-2950. 50. I get confused. We have a couple of phone numbers here. And if I start running on automatic after 45 years of volunteering here at WBAI, I start getting into old phone numbers. I think Sydney and I once started just discussing what were all the various phone numbers that we used to give on the air. And but one thing we never did is find out where are they now. And this is something I'm not going to do at 2:21 Eastern time in the morning. But I should call up BAI's great old phone numbers and find out who has them today. Do they ever get, you know, these are numbers that we used to recite on the air over and over and over again. Where are they now? 212-209-2950 is the phone number for this year, for today, for now. And it is the number that we need you to call and pledge. The call that was online has now offline, and we need more calls. We have four people to answer phones. Let's get five calls. Give them something to think about. 212-209-2950. We have a $25 pledge. Thank you very much. But let's get a whole bunch of those. Yeah, I know that's a wormhole certificate. I just know that was somebody calling up for a wormhole, right? Okay, we have another call coming in. Let's move them wormholes. You know how heavy they can be. 212-209-2950. $25 will give you a wormhole certificate printed out by myself, certified by David Dozer, and autographed and certified, the wormhole itself. David does the certificate, but it's Michio who certifies the wormhole. For a $25 pledge. 212-209-2950. I assume, by the way, you're all going to be going to the event on Monday, right? I mean, this is just like too cool. Monday, May 7th, 2012, at there's a reception at 6 o'clock and a lecture at 7 o'clock at the New York Society for Ethical Culture, 2 at 64th Street. It is a benefit for WBAI. And one thing this radio station needs to learn is that these begathons on the air are not the only way that we can raise money. Listener-sponsored radio shouldn't only be about pitching. It should be about holding events. It should be about sparking things in people's minds, doing stuff outside the station and bringing the community in and being all over the city. This is a great example. This is a great example of what WBAI should be doing. And who better than Michio to lead the way, holding his little banner saying explorations on it, right? So I hope that we'll see you at the New York Society for Ethical Culture next week. But right now, and a general admission, by the way, is $35, the student ID, $20, all benefits go to WBAI Radio. Give money there. Make these thons shorter. Prove to the powers that be that we can raise money off the air and we'll have less begging on the air. That's a truism. That's it. And we need to have a lot less begging. Last thon, I didn't have a show for 6 weeks. 5 weeks was because of the thon, and then 1 week for a worthwhile day of special programming. But I was just so bleeping demoralized not having a show on. Now, this time, I'm actually on the air 3 weeks out of the four that this thon is going on. And that third week, I wouldn't have been able to be on anyway, because I'll be going to Washington to the Science Fiction Writers of America Nebula Awards, where I'm going to be recording well over 30 interviews with various people, from science fiction writers to astronauts. I shouldn't say astronaut, astronaut. That's one Mike Fink, to be precise. But, I mean, hey, interviews with an astronaut who's just this total science fiction geek fan. What could be cooler? Okay, what could be cooler is you calling now. That's what could be cooler. 212-209-2950. I'm actually talking normally, but it's that wormhole effect that I was talking about earlier. that no doubt is making you think that you're hearing me do weird stuff with my voice. Remember, a $25 pledge, which is the normal pledge for WBAI, a normal subscription to WBAI, $25, and we will send you in writing, in paper, a WBAI wormhole certificate signed by the aforementioned Dr. Michio Kaku. We currently have one phone call coming in. Let's get a couple more. 212-209-2950. I'm not looking to raise tons of money. I'm here to self-glory or self-loathe in the fact of 45 years of volunteering at the radio station. Do it for that. Do it for me. How about a $45 pledge? One for every year that I volunteered here, okay? Pay the station $1 a year for being gullible, for being wonderful enough to have me work at these facilities for all those years. And for that $45, what do we have for $45? Well, we have a bandana. We have the WBAI bandana, which has all the shows of WBAI listed on it. I think it's actually rather cool. That's a $35 pledge, but give $45. Or get two wormhole certificates and, $5, it's an additional $5 for good measure. But let's get the ball rolling here, okay? We have one pledge currently coming in. We've already received one, but it's coming in dribs and drabs. Let's get a drizzle going, okay? 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. I really wouldn't mind doing a part of a show this morning. I really wouldn't mind people calling up and asking questions about the past, present, or future of WBAI, or at least of my view of it after 45 years of working here. But that ain't going to happen unless a little money rolls in. 212-209-2950. Make that call now. Now, one of the things that's also going on here is once upon a time, it was like, it's 2:30 in the morning. Yes, that's true. But you know what? We've had people on the air from Latvia, from Bulgaria, from Australia, just on this show. It's the middle of the day. Oh, in England. It's the middle of the day where a lot of people are listening right now. And I'll bet some of you have access to Google Voice or Skype or some internet voice over internet protocol technology that basically lets you make a phone call for free or for very, very cheap. I would love to get pledges from other countries. Certainly continental United States, it's no biggie to call in right now. And there's all kinds of apps for your smartphone that you can listen to WBAI on. And your streaming internet box that attaches to your television monitor, like a Roku box or an Apple TV or Google TV, one of those, where you can be listening to WBAI through those. So I know that it ain't just New Yorkers. It ain't just 2:30 in the morning. I know right now that if you're West Coast, well, hey, it ain't even tomorrow yet, which is to say today. It's not even today. So call yesterday, right now, to make a pledge. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We are still taking one pledge, it would seem, and we have one of the boards, and we have half an hour left. Come on. Let's do it. $35 will give you a WBAI bandana, $60 a cool WBAI t-shirt, and you can see what those shirts look like, by the way, by going to WBAI.org, and on the homepage, scroll down a little, you'll see the shirts. I like them. And then we have the wormholes, $25, your very own certificate for your own wormhole, 212-209-2950. 650. Let's get a couple of calls in. Okay, I see no more calls are currently being taken. Let me, so hopefully I will see a rise in the tally in a few moments. But right now that means all of our lines are available. Take advantage of that fact right now. 212-209-2950. By the way, you can also go to the website and pledge and mention this show. You know, if you don't want to make that internet phone call or something like that, don't let that stop you. Just visit WBAI.org and you can make a pledge there. 212-209-2950 is our main venue, our main source for getting pledges, for getting calls on the air. For getting calls to fund this radio station. And I gotta say, for all of the talking and kvetching and stuff that I'm doing, so, $50 more. I look up and it went up $50. Thank you. Thank you very much. For all that, $75 is but a beginning, but a beginning. Can we get $25 more? Then I'd start taking calls on the air and talking about other things. 212-209-2950. One of these years, as the great late Monroe Littman used to say, he always said I should write a book. And I've written anecdotes. I have, oh God knows, hundreds and hundreds of anecdotes about WBAI, some of which would you know, curl people's hair if it's not curled already, or else it would straighten your hair out. The and it's not necessarily the BAI part of the story that would do the curling. It's, well, they're really interesting, if I say so myself. Stories that involve, there's at least one story that involves national security. No, two stories that involve national security. I'm not kidding. One of these days, I will write it. Actually, some of those stories I have already written, and I can read them on my computer or even my phone. I have them on my phone, yep. And let's see. If you call and ask the right questions, maybe I can tell you some of those stories. They are fun, if I say so myself. At least I tried to make them so. And they are actually bona fide, believe it or not, true. But I'm not even going to get into any of that until we've made a minimum of $100, right? A minimum of $100. That's only $25 more. That's one mere wormhole certificate. 212-209-2950. Pledge $25 to WBAI. Get a wormhole certificate, and then we'll loosen up the show and do other things on the air. I see Lister is just coming out of the elevator now, and he will be coming your way on at 3 o'clock with Burn Baby Burn Clapper. But let's do some other things. Let's see. Yeah, climatic change. That was one story. Yeah. There's the story about how I once fell asleep on the air. That was absolutely true. It was about this time of day as well. I think there's lots of stories about, you know, the person who cursed on the air, the person who said, that'll hold the little bleepers. And stuff like that. I think that I hold a record. I am not aware of anybody else in the history of radio, who actually on the air live, just as I am now, with an open mic, fell asleep while on the air. That's very difficult to do. There are people that are willing to make many, many claims of many types. Oh, I'm the first person who, you know, accidentally was broadcasting from the bathroom, or this or that. And there are many claims to fame. I have never found anybody. I mean, I've told this even at, like, in a room full of broadcasters, commercial broadcasters, non-commercial broadcasters. When I've told this story to them, It's usually a silence in the room, if not a snicker or two, like Lister's having at the moment, a snicker or two. And then people say, okay, Jim, you win. That's unique. We don't know anybody else who's ever actually fallen asleep while live on the air. You want that story? I'll tell the whole bleeping story. $25. 212-209-2950. Or other stories. And I've got my memoirs right here on my little phone on Google Drive. I called that one Sleepy Time Time. Yeah, that's one of the ones I cannot read on the air. Yes, there's the Carlin Ellison case, the fact that Hour of the Wolf was the very first show that tested the Carlin decision. The Carlin decision was about a broadcast on a Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, broadcasting the thing. But then there was this thing developed called Safe Harbor, where they were testing the waters. And, you know, up, you know, between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., legally, and this is still true, even though it's against Pacifica policy, it is still true that, you know, the FCC will back me up. The Supreme Court will back me up. It's Pacifica who doesn't. They're gun shy is what it is. They're gun shy at this point. So I did a broadcast of a short story by Harlan Ellison the morning after he had performed it live at the School for Visual Arts. And it was to go. And what I did was I timed it so that the last curse word came at like 5:59. The story went on till 6:15, but the last questionable word, the last profanity, not obscenity, what profanity, word was it? What word was it? Every word was in that story. The story is called Shatterday, and it's published today in a book called Shatterday and Other Stories. It was dramatized for television by George R.R. Martin. On the new Twilight Zone, which is the second of the two Twilight Zones, and start Bruce Willis, as a matter of fact. But hours after Harlan debuted that story, which is within a day of his having written it, we broadcast the thing, and it had every word imaginable. And I was not ever officially suspended, but this close. We were being taken back to court after the Carlin decision for that broadcast that I did. Want to find, and I'll get tell you this much, it has not an unhappy ending because I'm still on the air and I never actually lost a show out of it. But boy, did we come close. And Harlan had quite the, if you're familiar with Harlan Ellison, he had quite the reaction to it. That's another story I could tell. But you know what? I want at least $25 more. I want three digits at least. We've made $75 from two people calling. Thank you very, very much. But I'd like to see another $25 in the till. And then, oh, yes, I have a lot. I'm looking at the little parts of my memoirs that I've actually written. And, yeah, I've got a really very, very, very cool story about my association with Abbie Hoffman. Let's see. The golden age of science fiction is 13. That's right. And I see I've only halfway written that one. I write this at the length of like one story a year. I really have to accelerate that. If only for Monroe Lippman, every time he would call and say, Jim, you really have to write that thing. And now that he's not there to ride me anymore on it, I can only do it to myself. But now it's my turn to ride you. Come on, somebody, $25. Get a wormhole certificate signed by Dr. Michio Kaku. 212-209-2950. Become a subscriber to listener-sponsored radio. Celebrate 45 years of my volunteering here at this radio station. And I'll tell you what, if I see simply a single phone call coming in to pledge, I'll, you know, then go to other things and take calls on the air. But it has to be a call to pledge. In other words, you know, I can see when calls come in and how long they last. If you call in and hang up, That's a no-go. I'm going to, has to be there for a little while. And then I'll know, okay, that's a pledge. And I'm going to assume that it's a minimum pledge of $25 and we'll move on from there. But you've got to make that call now because, well, time's running. 212-209-2950. I've only got about 15 minutes left before I have to play my outro. So if it's going to happen at all, it's going to happen now. 212-209-2950. Otherwise, I just get to kvetch. I just get to harangue you on the air about what to do. I see, on the internet stream alone, I see we have a minimum of 94 listeners. That's a good number of people there. And God knows how many people are in their cabs or whatever actually listening to the radio. I have a problem communicating that sometimes to people. I'll explain. Well, I do a radio show about science fiction. They say, oh, what's the website? It's like, well, there is a website. But no, it's a radio show. Well, yeah. So it's like, do I get it through iTunes? It's on the radio. It's not what people call. It's not internet radio. It's not what people call internet radio. It's not a podcast, although, by the way, I am developing a podcast, but that's something else. It's radio. It's this medium. It's it's free form. We can talk extemporaneously. We can take phone calls. And this being WBAI, we can go into some wonderful, amazing places in many ways. And that is worth supporting. And that is listener support at work. And by the way, it is professional. Something that, well, frankly, a lot of blogging and a lot of podcasts are not. I'm not saying all. I'm just saying the majority. There's something we can fight about. But we ain't even going to get to the fighting if you don't call in pledge. 212-209-2950. I would like to see one pledge coming in, and then we can move on to chit-chat and other things. But please do make that call. The station deserves it. I deserve it. You deserve it yourself. You deserve it for enjoying what it is that we broadcast and the benefits of entertaining and provocative radio. 212-209-2950. Please, let's get that call now. I shouldn't be pulling teeth like this. It shouldn't be as difficult as it is to get those pledges. I mean, Robert, I know he did a wonderful job, but you're not all pledged out. You're not, there are some people who tuned in after Robert. 212-209-2950. It's almost 2:45. Let's get those calls. Let's get a call and move at least one wormhole certificate, $25. A WBAI anniversary bandana, $35. A T-shirt, $60. Or Michio Kaku's new book, Physics and the Future, $75. 212-209-2950. Let's get those calls in. Okay? At least one. Okay. There's two ways you can do this. One is you get in front of the mic and you shout. And that often works. But does that really work at this hour? Okay. Here's a call coming in. Let's see if it stays on the phone for a little while. If it does, I'll consider that a legitimate, bona fide, serious call. And if so, then I'll say, okay, I will take it for granted that we've made our $100. It would be nice if we made more. But, at that point, I'll say, could have done better, but let's move on, okay? Okay. So, two calls. There we go. Thank you very much. That's gratifying. Two calls coming into pledge. You can be the third. 212-209-2950. Now, if you have questions about, any of the rants or raves that I have been tossing about or teasing you with. We have 10 minutes left. You can call the other phone number, 212-209-2900, and I'll take calls for about 10 minutes. But that doesn't take the onus off of you for calling to pledge, as two people are currently doing. So, and I'll be repeating that number, 212-209-2900, to call to speak on the air with me, and 212-209-2950 to make your pledge to WBAI. Good morning. You're on the radio. Hello. Okay, I'm hearing absolutely nothing, which...
Hello?
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi. Listen, I'm calling to appeal to the listeners.
I really don't have much time left, so if you could talk a little more to the point. What is it you wish to appeal about?
Because this is, to me, the best radio station in the country.
I agree.
Okay? And there are people who are just volunteering. Okay?
Most of us who work here, myself included, do just
exactly.
That.
Exactly. And you have been doing so for half of my life, at least. And, you know...
And for four-fifths of my life.
you do a very creative challenge, but I'm more of a person who speaks out of urgency, because I have lived out of New York from the mid-70s until the 90s, and there's nothing. There is nothing like WBAI that I've heard. Okay. So you people out there, you need to pick up the phone and just like, if everybody who listens to this station on a regular basis, just give $10. And this station would have no financial problems.
It's absolutely true, everything you say.
No? Come on, people. Come on. These are of groundbreaking times.
Yeah.
You saw what happened yesterday out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, come on.
It was a great Beltane.
It's like a couple of dollars for a cup of coffee. Hey.
It's less than a movie.
Get with the program and go forward. Don't be motivated by fear. Be motivated by a larger interest.
Yeah, but do be motivated a little bit by the fear that if people fail to call and fail to support the station, there will be the day when we won't be there. That is a fear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what to say.
Well, I think you said it very well. There's a certain point at which all you can do is say, I've said it. I have I've given you the logic. And now the rest is up to you, the listener, to call and make that pledge.
Yeah. And I have.
Well, I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your commitment, your creativity, and your articulation.
Well, thank you so much, because if you weren't there, I wouldn't be doing it.
Hey, if you weren't there, I wouldn't be doing it either.
Well, there we go, and that's the basis of the listener-programmer relationship.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You too. Take care now. Good morning. And hello there. You're on the radio.
Good morning, James.
Good morning, Robert.
Sorry, I couldn't join you Tuesday night, but I was celebrating May Day in Britain with the folks. So, Sherlock is running A Scandal in Bohemia and The Final Problem?
Well, it's a what? They're renamed.
They're what?
That's not quite the titles they use. I think it's A Scandal in Belgravia. Then the Baskerville Hound.
And the Reichenbach Falls, they're not calling it The Final Problem?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, you remember, this is a modern series starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman.
Uh-huh.
So it's themes and variations. It is not the original stories.
Oh, they're not.
They're based on
the original.
And this is the second season, you realize.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So it's following, you know, what they did with the first season. There are three episodes. It picks up exactly where the last season left off with Moriarty and Watson and Holmes in a swimming pool room and a bomb about to be set off. And it's very complex. It's actually better the second time than the first.
You don't know if they're going to do the sequel to the Reichenbach when Holmes comes back.
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that we know that they're filming.
I see.
Aside from that, let's just say, to quote another TV series written by the same person, Stephen Moffat, spoilers.
By the way, did you tell me a couple of weeks ago that Doctor Who in the new season is doing some shoot 'em outs west?
They finished filming out west, yes.
Yes. One last thing. I loved Band of Misfits. I laughed all the way home.
It's a wonderful movie.
And I have to say one other thing. You know, Burroughs, just to cap this, you know when Burroughs wrote Under the Moons of Mars, you know, because Tarzan of the Apes was his third novel. The second was called The Outlaw of Torn, which actually introduced us to an ancestor, Greystoke. You know, he wrote Under the Moons of Mars, not under his own name, but under a pseudonym.
Norman Bean. We've done the whole, history.
I always wondered about that. I'm looking forward to your discussion next week about racism and culture and the idea that there's so much great literature from non-European sources. Although I have some information for you. A lot of it, Jim, is slowly, not fast enough, but there are stuff out there from Asian sources, India, especially a lot from India.
But very often, very, very bad translations.
But there are some good ones, too. I mean, especially from Tibet. You know, they're coming out with some very good things. India has a whole lot of stuff.
But they're not being published with good translations here.
Really?
Well, I'm not aware of them.
Well,
Can you cite a couple? Yes, but you know what? We're out of time.
No. I'll tell you next week.
Okay. Take care. Pardon me. Okay, so we've got just two or three minutes left, and we have not yet. We got two calls, but I've not seen the tally hit three digits. It's still at $75, which means that either we're having tally lag, which means that the sheet of paper with the pledge has not gotten over to the calculator yet, which magically tells me how much money has come in, or those weren't real pledges. So we have a couple of minutes left, and you can be the person to put us over that huge interim goal of $100 with a $25 pledge would do it. 212-209-2950. It is, frankly, pardon me, almost absurd that we can't make that little bit of money, okay? 212-209-2950. We're looking for a $25 pledge, and for that $25, we will give you a bona fide guaranteed certificate to a wormhole signed by Dr. Michio Kaku, okay? A WBAI wormhole certificate, no less. This was a premium that we had a few years ago, devised by myself, Janet Coleman, David Dozer, with aided and abetted by Michio Kaku. He was very much in favor of it. And boy, did we move a ton of these things. Over 300 easily. And, you know, at $25 each, that's a nice chunk of change to the station. And it costs us virtually nothing. I figured it cost me about 9 cents to produce each one. And I'm donating that 9 cents to the station, okay? And that's just, you know, for the paper. The ink, I'm not including that in the cost of the thing. So $25 goes to a great cause and gives you a really cool thing. And as I've pointed out to people, especially with Michio's current fame, my God, these things are worth so much on eBay alone. Ah, okay, we've made that interim goal. It's $135 and one call coming in, so that is cause to celebrate. Thank you, those who pledged. And to those who didn't pledge, we'll get you still. Okay, so stay tuned for Burn Baby Burn Clappers with Lister coming your way on these same airwaves in just a couple of moments. We go out with Steel Eye Span and the Sales of Silver. And next week, a special 3-hour program, myself and Robert Knight, discussing racism in science fiction and how things age. It's a fascinating discussion, I think. You heard a little part of it earlier tonight. Thank you for listening. Support the radio station. Hope to see you Monday at Michio's event at the Society for Ethical Culture. And have a great week. Take care. Like many others take the same turn like me, they yearn for the flag too.
to bacon bits, call it fist, cause I ain't taking. I'm not a Nazi or a Cappy or a Kwame, but you want me in prison, cause I'm pissy attack. The flag, I rag it and snag it and drag it and rip it to shreds, cause I'm too black, too strong, too red, too dread. And I'm dreaded cause I make the pigs tremble when I burn a symbol. Yo, I'm quick and nimble like Jack, but I'm a black man attacking the flag. I keep my torch handy, I'm no Yankee Doodle Dandy, so just hand me a flag from the fascists and watch me burn that piece up to ashes, cause the real meaning is what the masses must learn. That's why the red, white, and blue must burn, baby, burn. Let's find the people who hate this. These are the places we'll hit.
Number one, Panama, talking about Peru, Azania, Brixton, Belfast, can't forget Korea, Beirut, can't forget Haiti, Iran, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Mexico. Talking about uptown Harlem, New York City, y'all, and Nicaragua, East and South Central LA, California, IA, Miami, do or die, Bed-Stuy, never ran, never will, Brownsville, boogie down, South Bronx, yeah.
My man Joey to jail, and now they got him in court because he burned the flag. That's the name of the game. Well, I quit playing. I doubt the suckers want you to hear what I'm saying about this nation. Freedom supposed to be the format, but I step on your flag like it's a floor mat. Maim and mangle, the star spangle. I'm not trying to diss you. I use the flag like toilet tissue to wipe my black ass. What? You think that I'm a jackass? I see a flag and I attack fast with some fire. My desire to burn what Betty Ross sold up. The truth I show up about America, America, home. Free. Boom. This is the home of the slave. Now hold on just a mother minute. You gave me freedom of speech in the First Amendment. So why wanna scold me when I torch the flag? I'm only doing what you told me. You don't like it, so what? I'm not scared of you. Your flag, America too. See, I made up this new rule and I want y'all to learn it. Strike a match to the American flag and burn.
listening to radio station WBAI 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. This is the Begathon. We have a matching fund of $100 cash if you're financially challenged right here at 212-209-2950. Yo, bro, what's up? What's up? All right, here we go. $25 if you're financially challenged, if you're a flag burner. You know, burn the red, white, and blue until 5 o'clock right here in Burn Baby Burn. You support this radio station. This is the most radical show ever on the history of 99.5. List alive, y'all. Music that the other reggae shows and dancehall shows refuse to play. Ask Terry Wilson about that. Music that the other dancehall shows and reggae shows refuse to play. Ask Apte Selassie about that. That's why we call it 99.5 List Alive. Dodoy! Now we want two more telephone calls at 212-209-2950-007. Different style. Robert Knight on the case, Michio Kaku on the case. We got his book, we got the tickets to give away. You can cuddle with Michio Kaku right here at 99.5. 212-209-2950. First time listener, first time caller, but you're financially challenged because of his imperialist majesty, Barack the First. Pick it. Yeah. Who plays the most Wii tunes on the radio?